Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's good. It's good for brothers to gather together in unity. You know, we've just sung that scripture, and really, that's what we're doing here tonight. As you look around you, you will see people from different nations and different cultures and backgrounds, and yet we've all come together for one purpose, and that is to worship. And as we worship together, our differences seem to disappear, and we really do become one body in Christ.
Sing this song in Spanish. We come from Latin American countries, Mexico, Colombia, and Peru. With love for all of you in Spanish.
Aún siendo muchos, somos en Cristo un cuerpo de amor. Aún siendo muchos, somos en Cristo un solo cuerpo de amor.
Yes, come on, Les.
Aún siendo muchos.
There is none like him.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his marvelous courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, March the 5th, 2023. Now, my name is Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm blessed to be the woman of God of this assembly. But as always, I am joined by some very loving and very anointed servant leaders in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Minister Tina Brown, and Minister Gladys McGee. And if there is any other clergy present, we want to say welcome to you as well, and that we are exceptionally glad that you're here with us this morning. So on behalf of all of us, welcome to this morning's service, and we pray that you will hear something that will bless your spirit and uplift your very soul. So right now, we are going to go to opening prayer with our most beloved sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen.
God bless you. If we could just all close our eyes and bow our heads and just humble our hearts as we go to the throne of grace. Father God, thank you. Thank you for touching each one of us with your finger of love and allowing our eyes to spring open to see another first Sunday, Father God. We just thank you so much for seeing a day we've never seen before. Father God, we just love you so much. Lord, we thank you for loving us even when we are unlovable. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins, Father God. Father God, and thank you for giving us second, third, fourth, and fifth chances in our life, Lord God. Lord, we just, you sit high and you look low and you see everything that we're in need of, and you bless us, Father God, according to your will. And we just thank you, Father God. No one can love us the way you love us. Your love is just contagious. When you touch us, it gives us a feeling inside that makes us want to go around and touch and love on others. God, you're Alpha and you're Omega, the beginning and the end, Father God. And we just love you. Your love for us is unmatchable, Father God. You love us more than our parents, Father God. You love us more than our family, children, and friends, and we just thank you so much. Lord God, when we feel all alone and feel like no one cares, we can always look to you, Father God, during the day or night, because you're
there for us, Lord.
With open arms, Father God, waiting for us to run to you and stop trying to figure it out for ourselves, but turn it all over to you, and we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for blessing us from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet, Father God. When sadness overcomes us, when death is in our family, Father God, and friends are few, Father God, you fill us up with your love. You give us comfort.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In every way, you give us comfort. Lord God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't praise or thank you
enough, Lord,
for all the things that you do. You are a mother to the motherless, Lord God, a father to the fatherless, Lord God. You're closer than any friend we could ever think we had here on earth.
Yes,
and we thank you on today and every day, Lord God. Hallelujah. For you are just everything to us, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for loving us and for caring for us and never missing a day to love us or care for us or make us feel like we're somebody when we feel like we might not be nobody. So we just thank you on today, Lord Jesus, for all you do for us and all you've done for us. And we just thank you every day, not just today, but every day, Father God. Amen and thank God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Every day through the night, yeah, you're everywhere I go. Every step, you were there in the valley of the shadow. I know I never walk alone, not even for a minute. Wherever I'm in, I know that we're in it together. Together, your mighty hands are holding me. Together, together, you're the God who never leaves. When life is hard, we all need Jesus. We fall apart and you're put in the pieces. Together, together. Thank you, Lord, you hold all things together. Through the highs and the lows and the bends and the roads, Lord, I know whatever life brings, you're the calm in the storm, and I know that for my good, you're working all things together, together. Your mighty hands are holding me together, together. You're the God who never leaves. When life gets hard, we all need Jesus. We fall apart and you're putting the pieces together. King of Kings, together, together. Come on, everybody, sing. Together, together. Your mighty hands are holding me. Together, together. You're the God who never leaves. Life is hard, we all need Jesus. We fall apart and you're putting the pieces together.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And in my mother's absence, I will be reading once again from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. Today's meditational reading is entitled, God is not judging you. The scripture is Romans 8 and 33, and it reads, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Hallelujah. Pastor Prince goes on to write, some people see God as a judge who has exacting demands on man. When they fall short or when things go wrong in their lives, they think that God is judging them. My friend, the truth is that if you are a believer, God does not bring any charge against you. Instead, he justifies you because of the blood of his son. In fact, God's word goes on to say that the one who has the right to condemn you chose instead to die for you and is risen at the Father's right hand to be your righteousness. But what the devil tries to do is get you to believe that God watches you with a critical eye and punishes you when you do wrong. He has deceived many sincere Christians into believing that if they have done something wrong, sickness or some other evil thing has a right to come upon them and their family. And when these things happen, he convinces them that they are suffering God's judgment because of their wrongdoing. In the meantime, these sincere Christians struggle with condemnation because they think they are the cause of their problem. Nothing could be further from the truth. Ever since the cross, where Jesus was judged in our place for every one of your wrong actions, thoughts, and words, God no longer judges you, his child. You need not accept condemnation for evil things happening to you because Jesus took all of your punishment at the cross. So when you start to feel condemned for your actions or when you experience negative circumstances, it is written, it is God who justifies me. I am completely forgiven and made righteous before him. I refuse to accept any condemnation, and I reject every symptom of the curse that I am seeing in my circumstances. Then, simply stand on the truth of God's word and watch him deliver and bless you. Hallelujah. Thought for the day. Don't accept condemnation or evil things happening to you because Jesus took all of your punishment on the cross. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen.
We're all a part of God's body.
Jesus.
I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive.
Sister, I need you to survive. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and this is a time when we stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over the world by offering up God to God our adoration, our confessions, our thanksgiving, hallelujah. We go to him and we take our petitions, our intercessions, our supplications before his throne of mercy, expecting him to do exactly what he has said in his holy word that he would do. So right now, my brothers and sisters, I'm asking that you please prepare to go into prayer with our anointed apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers, as she takes us to the throne room of grace. Amen.
Praise God. And everyone, bless you all this morning. We're going to go right into prayer. We have many things that need to go before the Lord. Let us bow our heads, our hearts, and prepare to go to the throne room of grace. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you, Lord, in behalf of many others that we're placing before you this morning. Those that are sick, shut in, suffering, war victims, those that have been hurt, wounded by natural disasters, such as our world, our weather conditions, snow impactions, flooding, tornadoes, and all these kinds of natural disasters. We lift up those this morning, Lord, that are suffering through these different situations. We pray for healings and miracles that you would touch in their lives, that you would send somebody, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We know that you're our rescuer, and we ask, Lord, that you would send others out, Lord, to touch and heal. And even those missing persons, we pray that they will be found in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily in these countries, Lord, that are suffering so much, the earthquakes and all of these things that have recently happened. We ask, Lord, that you would step in, that you would move in a supernatural way as only you do. We lift up those this morning, Lord, that are suffering, hurting from grief. We lift up Minister Gladys's family. We lift Minister Gladys up. We lift up her husband, Brother David, and all of their other children. We ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would comfort.
Yes, Lord.
That you would sustain them. You said that your grace was sufficient.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We believe it because that is your word. We ask, Lord, that you would help them in their difficult time. In Jesus' name, that all will go well as you would have it to go. In Jesus' holy and righteous name. We ask, Lord, that you would touch those that are being abused. We pray that you will find hope in you, Christ Jesus. Those that are suffering, those that feel like there's no way out, we ask, Lord, that you would make a way for them in the name of Jesus. We pray for those children that have suffered through trauma, through abuse. We pray, Lord, that you would also remember those that are still caught and trapped in human trafficking. She would free them in the name of Jesus. We pray for the children that are without love, some of them because their parents don't know how to give it, because they themselves may not have experienced it. So we pray for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We know that there is hope in you, Christ Jesus. We know that you love them as you love everyone. And so we ask, Lord, that you would move in those situations. We pray for those that are incarcerated. We pray for the juveniles, those that are in juveniles, those that are in jails and in prisons. Pray, Lord, that you would free them, not just to be free out of their cells, but also free to serve you, to live for you. We pray, Lord, that you will draw many of them by your Spirit in the name of Jesus, that they will know you in the pardoning of their sins. We thank you for the many ones that have been touched and have accepted you, even in their confinement. We thank you for their souls that are saved. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to move in that way in the name of Jesus. Raise up leaders, Lord, that will go in, chaplains that will go in with a heart like your heart, Lord, that they're willing to go in and offer their love to someone else in the name of Jesus. To those that are feeling stuck in their own circumstances and their own situations, those that were led by the enemy, those that were tricked, pray, Lord, that you will remember them this morning. And as I pray for those, Lord, that have been in prison and those that are yet there and others that are also in trouble, pray that you would help them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for freeing my son. I thank you that he is a free man now. I thank you that his mind is on you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And I thank you, Lord, as I hear him talk, and I know that the spiritual maturity is there. You know, he's physically matured, but also spiritually, and seems to have a great mindset. So I pray, Lord, that you will keep him in that manner in the name of Jesus, that he's free to serve you. And he said he desires to, so we pray that that will be in the mighty name of Jesus, as you know how he has been raised. So we thank you for that, Lord, and we just continue to lift up all the others. And we pray, Lord, for those that are sick today that may be among us, those that are listening in. We ask, Lord, that you would touch those that need a breakthrough. We pray for breakthrough miracles to happen. We pray for healings in the name of Jesus. Where people stand in need of financial assistance, we pray for them, Lord, that you will remember them today, that you will deliver them. And we pray that you will continue to help them. And we pray, Lord, that somebody will accept you today in Jesus' name, that somebody will have that desire in their heart to be saved with a made-up mind to live for you in Jesus' name. We lift up the Spirit Alive Ministries this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless if you have. And we pray for all of the others, Lord, churches, ministries. We pray for them that you will meet their every need in the name of Jesus, to lead and guide us. Continue to show us your way. And most of all, help us, Lord, to do your will, to be mindful. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
That it behooves us and it pays off if we do your will. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord God.
Because you know each and every one of us. Hallelujah. So we pray, Lord, that you will not allow any to go astray in their own way, in their own thoughts, because we know that your ways are far different than ours. And so are your thoughts. So we pray, Lord, hallelujah, for those that are still having problems with disobedience. We pray, Lord, that they will get it, hallelujah, that they will hear it, hallelujah, in your word, that they will read it, that they will know. We pray for wisdom and knowledge in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing right now. We thank you for what you're going to do. In
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Holy and righteous name, we pray for the speaker that's coming forth this morning.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord.
That we will be touched and somebody will be saved.
Yes.
Amen. And amen.
Amen and amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
For the question marks, this is for the outcast soul, lost control, no one knows. Sing it for the can't go back, sing it for the broken past, sing it for the just found out, life is now upside down. If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your hand.
for the new romance, singing for the left in vain, overcame, not too late.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. And I'm going to ask that you retrieve your Bibles, get something to write with and to write on. And I just get excited, hallelujah, when the word of God is about to go forth. But first, I want to give all honor and glory to God, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to the anointed servant leaders of Spirit Alive and to the ministries they represent and to you, God's elect. Good morning and blessings to you and your household. Now, our message for today will be coming from, once again, from the book of Acts. Yes, hallelujah, no surprise there. Today, we will be looking at chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. That's Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. And if you are listening via your computers or smartphones and you don't have a Bible, at this time you can simply go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts 18, verses 1 through 11, and the passage will be brought up for you. And I usually read from the King James Version. Now, my message for today is simply entitled, Together We Win, exactly as it is recorded in our passage for today. So now, let's look at Acts 18, verses 1 through 11. And the word of God reads as follows. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justice, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come once again to your throne of grace, asking that I simply decrease so that you might have all the increase, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that your spirit will speak through me in a way that your children, Lord God, may be able to hear, receive, apply, and then share your holy word. And Lord God, if somebody does not know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that this day will be the day that they come and make you their Lord and their Savior. And Lord, I pray this all in your wonderful Son, Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, saints of God. This morning we're talking about together we win. You know, Patrick Henry once said, united we stand, divided we fall. Now, this slogan proves true in politics, business, and many other areas. Even the animal kingdom understands the strength and safety in staying together. For as many of us know, predators usually go after the stragglers, or they purposely try to cut off a few of the weaker animals from the rest of the herd so they can pick them off. Well, as Christians, it is also vitally important that we learn how to live in this life together. By ourselves, we can face danger, loneliness, insecurity, and weakness. But together with other believers, we can find encouragement, hope, strength, safety, and so very much more. You see, when we follow Christ together, we can and will conquer the struggles in life that we face. Now, some may be asking themselves, Apostle, how does all this togetherness in Christ help us to win individually? Well, again, you should just know you're in the right place, because there are four big wins that I'm going to talk to you about this morning from this passage. The first big win we receive when we work together and is being together helps us to conquer loneliness. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 again. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. So Paul went to see them. Now, Paul was in Corinth by himself to begin with, and probably found himself in need of just some good old-fashioned Christian fellowship. Now, although he was an apostle, he was still human, just like us.
Amen.
And he probably got kind of lonely. And I'm sure there's some servant leaders sitting within the sound of my voice right now that have probably felt that way. You know, we need others to be, Paul needed others to be around him who believed in Jesus, and so do we. Now, in Paul's case, it just happened to be, it happened that God brought a man named Aquila and his wife Priscilla to Corinth recently. See, God always is working with the finished product. Therefore, he can set all of his ducks in a row. And they will fall into place like the pieces of a puzzle. For you see, all Aquila and Priscilla and all the other Jews had been evicted from Rome. And apparently this was due to some rioting among the Jews because they, as we know and we have been studying, they strongly opposed the followers of Jesus. Now, Roman historiographer Suetonius recorded that the emperor Claudius expelled the Jews because they were continually rioting at the instigation of Crestus. Most Christian scholars believe that Suetonius misspelled the Greek name Christos or perhaps Latinized it. Regardless, this appears to be the reference to Jesus Christ, or more specifically, his followers. Suetonius probably knew little about Jesus and cared even less, okay? He was simply recording a fact, and that was that the Jews had been evicted from Rome. Nevertheless, God used these circumstances to bring Aquila and Priscilla to Corinth, and Paul met them and then got together with them. It appears that they were already followers of Jesus, which established a more common ground with Paul than the fact that they were tent makers. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you've struggled with loneliness before. I can tell you it's not a pleasant feeling. There are times when we all need our space, but I'm here to tell you, too much space can make us feel empty and alone. Why? Because we were created to love and to be loved. And beloved, we can't do that if we're sitting up in isolation. Okay?
Amen.
You see, God wants us to develop friendships with other believers so we can mutually encourage one another. Now, sometimes we may be the one that needs to cry. And other times, we might be the one that has to offer the shoulder to be cried upon. We need to learn how to laugh with others. There is something about sharing both joys and sorrows that meet an emotional and spiritual need within us. Mm-hmm. We are not alone. Yeah. So it is imperative that we don't live like we are. I need you. You need me. We all need each other. So being together is important. It helps us to conquer loneliness, depression, that spirit of heaviness, and so many other spirits that can rush in. But instead, it's replaced with that love, that joy, that encouragement that tells us we're going to make it when we know that we're in it to win it together. So we can see that Paul did not just go and hang out with Aquila and Priscilla, but he started working with them. They had to make the ends meet, so why not work at it together? Let's look at verse 4. Because it brings us to our big win number two. Let's look at verse 3, and it brings us to our big win number two, and that is that working together helps bring provision. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. I know I'm sitting up here living that right now. And the word of God says in verse 3, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Now, thanks to God, some people view work as a curse, as part of the fall of man. However, work is a gift from God. You see, the real curse was that man would have to toil laboriously, living by the sweat of his brow. That was the curse. The ground was cursed. So man would have to cultivate it and take care of it in order to grow that needed food that would sustain him in the physical. Now, here's what it says in Genesis 3, 17 through 19. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. So you see, the curse was not the work. The curse was the fact that they had to work. And Paul was not afraid of work. In fact, he usually worked wherever he ministered in order to be a good example to others. That is why our brother Paul could write things like this in 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 through 12, where he says, "We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when you were you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat." So from this passage, we can see that work is a good thing, because it allows us to take some responsibility and accountability for our own provision. Now, don't get it twisted, saints of God. We understand that God and God alone is Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees and provides our every need. He is our source and our supply. But you see, when we do our part to help meet provisions whenever and however we can, it can provide us an opportunity to get to know others that we're working with. I say you really don't know someone until you work side by side with them or you worked up a sweat together. Hallelujah. You learn a lot about people when you're standing elbow to elbow, whether it's on your job or whether it's in a ministry. Which brings us to our third big win. Ministering together helps us exceed our limitations. Let's look at Acts 18:4-8. He said, "Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I'm clear of my responsibilities. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.' Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized." One of the points to be made here is that it wasn't all Paul. You see, yes, Paul is the central figure of Acts, chapters 18 through 28, but he was a part of a greater team. You see, not only did they work together with their hands to earn a living and to pay their own way, but they ministered together. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 5 that after Silas and Timothy rejoined Paul, he apparently quit making tents altogether, and he focused solely on telling the Jews about Jesus. Now, some of you might be asking, why didn't he just do this to begin with? Well, probably because his team was not there to help support him or to help cover for him. And you might be saying, well, why didn't God just send ravens to feed Paul like he had done for Elijah? I believe the reason is this. God often provides through members of his own family. Do you need a miracle of provision? Well, let me tell you something. God can do things like multiply oil and fish and loaves of bread. Hallelujah. But he can also use another team member to help provide. I'm sitting right there this Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Maybe you have been someone's answer to a prayer. Ha! Everybody up in here can shout, well, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you have been God's miracle to someone in need, or maybe you've been able to help minister to someone's physical needs while they devote themselves to meeting spiritual needs. You see, both endeavors are works of the ministry. See, people need to know and understand, preaching the word is not the only form of ministry there is. Some preach, some teach, some serve, some lead, some encourage, some give prophetic insight, some give heartfelt compassion and mercy, some clean the toilets, some prepare some meals, and some write cards and letters. Hallelujah, but it's all needed.
Amen.
For the work of the kingdom. We all
Amen.
Have some form of ministry that complements the overall effort of God's kingdom to reach his people in need. There are lead roles, and there are supporting roles. Team ministry is what we need if we ever hope to reach our community with the good news about Jesus.
Amen.
See, somebody once said, it might have been me, or maybe I heard it and I just agree with it so heartily, wholeheartedly I made it my own. But a lot can get accomplished when nobody cares about who gets the credit. See, if it's not all about the me, if it's not all about the me being in the spotlight, then maybe I can effectively minister to people out of love and genuine concern for them. Oh, hallelujah. I can truly say that I concur wholeheartedly with this because it is what I am blessed to experience each and every day with my brothers and my sisters right here at Spirit Alive. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, since we are only human, there's only so much we can accomplish by ourselves. That is why Paul eventually devoted himself exclusively to preaching. See, he knew he was called and sent to preach the gospel. And see, when you're called and sent to do something, you're going to get around to doing that, and you're going to be doing it all the time. Because as you see the need, you're going to rise to that call that is within you. You see, Paul saw a great need and decided it would do more good to preach this gospel as often as he could get somebody to listen than to make them some tents. See, what had happened was, as these young people say, what had happened was team ministry helped Paul to overcome his own limitations. See, and sometimes we need to remember, saints of God, especially as servant leaders, we put limitations upon ourselves.
Amen.
Uh-huh. We have put our own mental barriers and blocks up there that keep us from accomplishing all that we are capable of doing with God's help. Because, see, what a lot of us want to forget is it's with God's help. And see, when God says with his help, that means he will personally help us and he will send other people to help us as well. Because God will
Amen.
Also use others to overcome some of our mental craziness. Okay?
Yes.
Or our mental limitations. Sometimes we can be guilty of very small thinking. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, no. Somebody tried that once before and it didn't turn out well. Small thinking. Or some of us, even though we say we love the Lord and have been walking with him a long time, we only see obstacles and the level of difficulties ahead. Huh. I don't know. Well, God knows how we think. He created us. So he will use me. He will use you. He will use our teammates to show others that with faith and prayer and an I can attitude, whoa, beloved, we can change the world with God's help.
Hallelujah.
So let's turn up with the team playership. Let's learn to team up and turn up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's really get into doing ministry together. If we realize
Amen.
That we are all on the same team, And each one of us plays a very important part, because if it wasn't important, God wouldn't have had it in there.
Yeah.
So we got to remember every part is important. Because why? Because it's going to help build the kingdom and bring some more people to Jesus. That's why.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our final and fourth win. I'm not going to keep us here all day. Trusting together helps us to overcome fear. And I want all of you that are available, we're pulling the covers off of fear and all of the little demons and imps that can crawl out of the woodworks on tomorrow. Mm. So we invite you to come on out as we minister together and cover some things about overcoming your fear. But trusting together helps us to do that. Look what it says in verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. See, he would, hallelujah. I praise God this morning. I praise God. Because, see, when you know that you have a bona fide, qualified, certified, stomped down, sold out family of Christian believers that are ride or die, we can feel just like Paul. Where we got to go? How long we got to stay? What we doing? What we doing, Jesus? Because, see, even when I can't see your people, I know they're dead. So we certainly must learn to trust God for ourselves, regardless of what others may do or may not do.
Right.
However, we must never, ever lose the perspective that we are in this together. Together we win. That is what the Lord told Paul when he apparently feared for his life. I am with you, and I have many people here to help you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm going to break this down, because, see, I don't want you, I want everybody to be crystal clear up in here and around the world. When the Lord says, I am with you, that means we're going to trust God's presence. I am with you. The biblical rationale for boldness and courage is always going to be in the immediate presence of God. The greatest weapon we have against fear is the knowledge that we know that God is with us.
Amen.
The Lord told Paul, do not be afraid. I am with you. That is exactly what the Lord told Joshua after Moses died. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Yeah,
man.
That's what he told Joshua. Man. First chapter, verses 5 and 6. Oh, but let me get another testimony. Let me get another testimony from the word of God. In Hebrews 13:5 and 6, God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, with assuredness, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nada. Zero. Zit. Nit. Nada. Kaput. Nothing. And I want to tell you something. That was just two. But see, there's so many more scriptures that remind us that God is with us and that we have nothing to fear. God told us not to fear 365 times in the Bible. That's a do not fear for every day of the year. So you know he meant that. So knowing that the Lord is with you is first and foremost trusting God. And then you got to trust God's people. Love God, love his people. Trust God, you got to trust his people.
Yeah.
You see, God strategically, I mean very strategically, places believers in community so that we can help strengthen and protect one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of protection are we talking about here? Well, that biggest one is that big P, prayer protection. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You see, when we pray for that one another, we are forming a barrier of strength against the enemy. Therefore, we should also be watching out for one another. We should be looking around, looking around.
Amen.
And then, thanks to God, let's keep it real. Sometimes we need protection from our own selves, okay? Other believers may see us, you know, slipping into a compromising situation. And like I was telling you in our class on overcoming fear and anxiety, the enemy can have you entertaining demons unaware. You don't even know it. You're blind to it. So what we need to be doing, instead of dipping and dodging, running and hiding, we need to be living openly enough with one another that it would not be offensive for us for someone to ask us about an area of our personal life. I'm for real. I'm not being facetious. I'm not being funny. If I'm doing something that's unbecoming of an apostle or a woman of God or a child of God or your sister in Christ, you better pull my coattail. Okay?
Amen.
You better tell a sister. You know, because the word of God says we are supposed to be accountable to one another.
Yes.
We're supposed to, you know, that's the problem. We have too many people running around putting out false perceptions, false facades, false this, false that. And then they want people to keep it real with them. You know, here at Spirit Alive, I ask my brothers and sisters, we are not only responsible for one another, we are accountable to one another.
Amen.
You know? And I know sometimes, you know, one of my family members, we talk about some really personal stuff, you know. But that's how we get to know each other. That's how we can cover one another. That's how we get to pray specifically. That's how we get to encourage one another, you know. Listen, there might be somebody out there within the sound of my voice right now. I'm going to ask you some real personal questions, and they're going to be hard questions, but I'm going to ask you to answer them. Why? Because I want you to be convicted. Have you been in a compromising situation this week with anyone other than your own spouse? Have you been a bit more cynical or judgmental this week? Have you found yourself coveting what your neighbors have? See, these are some things that people deal with on a daily basis. It is.
Mm-hmm.
They have to deal with it. Have you been to that casino that you told the Lord you wasn't going to step back in? Now, see, this is not being said out of judgment or condemnation. I'm asking you some questions because what I'm about to tell you is the good news. Because in relationship to overcoming our fears, one, there's safety in numbers. When we are in fellowship with other believers, we realize that God is using them to help keep us safe. God strategically places believers in our proximity so we can watch each other's back and provide encouragement and victory over fear. See, I feel so blessed, not because I'm so good or not because I'm so deserving. I feel blessed because I know that I've got family, a family of faith that we don't play. And I don't mind telling old flathead Satan when he shows up on sometimes, and now you know you see Jesus standing there. And you know you don't want me to call my brothers and sisters because you know what? Apostle, pray you away from here so hard. Look, you couldn't find your own self way back, and you're supposed to know where you're going. You don't want Bishop Lester to start declaring and decreeing. You don't want Pastor Vanessa to start pulling down and binding. You don't want none of that. You don't want none, Satan. You don't want none. You don't want Minister Tina to just start praising up in here in the midst of trials and tribulation. You don't want that. See, there's power in numbers. So God is with us, and his people are all around us. So why are we living in fear? Because we sure don't have to. We can boldly share the good news about Jesus with others. Say to God, look, we got to get one thing. If you don't remember anything else I say today, you got to remember this. We've got to get it down in our sanctified souls that we are not the Lone Ranger. We are not the headliner. We are not a superstar. We are just a child of God trying to help somebody else get into the kingdom. Hallelujah. We understand that together we will win. Hallelujah. We are one body in Christ. There is no part that is greater than the other part. It all has to work together for the good, and the good is telling the world about Jesus. The good is telling the world that Jesus saves. The good is telling the world that Jesus can raise.
Yes.
The good news is that Jesus, hallelujah, can wash you whiter than snow. Hallelujah. The good news is Jesus forgives. Hallelujah. The good news is when you can't, our God can. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that would trust in him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, look here. We got to get it down in our sanctified souls. Hallelujah. We're one body in Christ. We're going to do this thing together, because together we win. Together we'll rise. Together we'll fall. But together we're going to go forward all the way to the kingdom. Ain't no stopping us. When one gets tired, another one of us will reach down and pick them up. When another one of us gets tired, another one of us will hold their hands up to the Lord. Hallelujah. We fall short, we still win, because we're not going to be lost.
Amen.
We're going to have somebody. I wonder. I got to call Sister so-and-so, make sure she all right.
Yeah.
I got to call Brother so-and-so, see what they up to. See what you need to be doing, instead of trying to figure out how you're going to make you stick out. You need to start thinking about maximizing your strengths by doing what's best for God's team. See? And when you do that, others on the team can help and strengthen and cover you. Do you battle with fear? Well, join the many others who are trusting that God really is right, and he's right where you are, and he's willing to help you. You need to get around people like that. And you need to recognize that when you run into, you know, just the fact that you're here today, it's not by mistake. It is not by mistake.
Amen.
God has strategically placed you in this atmosphere today. He has strategically made sure that every one of these servant leaders showed up and to glorify him today. Hallelujah. Amen. So you might be asking yourself, okay, so what's next? Okay, we're going to, I see what you're saying, Apostle. You know, we win because we're not alone. We win because we can have more provisions. We win because others can help us overcome our own limitations, or in other words, our own stinking thinking. And we win when we know that God is with us. And he is for us. And he is working through us. Now, you might be saying to yourself, okay, I get it, Apostle. So what's next? Well, I don't know what you should do with this information. I was already obedient. I did my part. I told you. But before you can do anything, you have to first join the team. And if you have not asked God to forgive your sins and to become the leader of your life, then that is the first thing that needs to happen. And maybe you're ready to do that today. Hallelujah. And in a minute, guess what? I am going to give you an opportunity to do that. Just that.
Yeah.
Because we don't want you to leave here the same way that you came in. Maybe you might need you. Maybe you've just been, you know the Lord, but you haven't been in a real big hurry to get involved with other people. You kind of like just like serving from the sidelines, you know. Well, I encourage you today to get up, get on the good foot, and start turning up for Jesus and the team. Do what you really get in touch with the Lord and ask him to help you be committed to a team. Because I tell everybody, I don't care what it is in ministry. I tell the people when I at the prison ministry, I was out in prison ministry for over 30 years with Apostles Laid the Flowers. And I tell them, when you make that commitment, you're not making that you're going to be out there for prison ministry. You're not making that commitment to that chaplain or to that warden or to that administrator. That's a commitment you're making to God.
That's right.
And see, you don't get to change that up because something better comes along or the weather is nice outside or, you know, no. Commitment is a commitment is a commitment. And if you can't be committed to the team, get off the team.
Yes.
Or ask the Lord to help you to learn how to be a team player.
Amen.
Because it's
Amen.
Only together that we win, saints of God. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. And to God be the glory. I pray that something in this message blessed you on today. I pray that, hallelujah, that you will truly consider getting involved in your local churches, getting involved, hallelujah, be committed to just involving yourself on a daily basis with the things of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, as I have said, in a few moments, I'm going to ask Evangelist Kathy Horton to come, and she is going to lead you in an invitation to salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But before we do that, I am going to ask that Pastor Vanessa, hallelujah, who is also an anointed intercessor, come and buy and seal this message with prayer. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you for the message, Apostle Cook. I thank you, Lord, today for your words that go before us, Lord, to make every crooked place straight, Lord, that we agree with your Lord, with your word that we've heard. Thank you for the vessel, Lord, that poured out into us, Lord, that you restore and refill her up, Lord. I thank you for the prayers that message is wrapped around. I thank you, Lord, today that this is every time the word is presented, we have to decide, Lord, to make a choice to believe and to apply it in our lives. So I thank you, Lord, for giving us strength and understanding of the word that is immediately applicable, but also, Lord, that we're on our guard as we're building, Lord. We also have the plow and the sword. We have to fight and defend what we believe. We have to fight sometimes to defend the attack of the
Lord.
Yes.
So I just thank you, Lord, today that the decision to be united, the decision, Lord, to be sensitive to the needs of the body and say, how do we meet that need, not overlook it or not be codependent and all the things that get in the way,
Lord.
Father God, of us truly connecting and building. So I just thank you, Lord, today for your mighty, mighty word. And that you strengthen that man, that woman that will hear this and that is hearing it now to make a decision, Lord, to commit to you, to make a decision to serve you, Lord, in a way that they haven't before. I thank you, Lord, today that intensity of the fight of the spiritual warfare that we're in on a daily basis does not compare to us being united and the things that we can tear down together.
Yes, Lord.
About that. So thank you, Lord, today for your word. And I praise you, Father God, today for you being true to us, how you show your love to us through this word. You know what we need. You know how to challenge us, Lord. And I pray that that man or woman of God will be in alignment and be committed to your word. That
Today
bring forth fruit.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask my beautiful sister, Evangelist Kathy Horton. She will come forth in just a moment, and she is going to lead you in an invitation to salvation. That will be followed by Minister Gladys McGee, who will pray for the new converts. And if you are sitting in the sanctuary at this time and you would like to just put your praise on it, you are more than welcome to press your one, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Hallelujah, because here at the Spirit of Live Praise and Worship Experience, it's about, again, us praising God together. So at this time, my brothers and sisters, please give your undivided attention to Evangelist Kathy Horton, who walks with Apostle Zeta Flowers at All Nations Fellowship. Amen. Come on in the room, beautiful evangelist.
God bless you. God bless you. Those of you who are listening, she made a beautiful point. You no longer have to be alone. When you give yourself to the Lord, you're no longer alone. You have God. And when you have God, this is what he does for you. He makes you more than a conqueror. So the word says one could put 1,000 to flight. Two could put 10,000 to flight. So when we work together, Satan doesn't have a chance. When you have God in your life, Satan doesn't have a chance because he's made you more than a conqueror. The word says
that's right.
We touch it in the grave. He'll be a God in the midst. That means he'll be right there with you. He's not somewhere out there. He's right there with you. So when you pray, he hears your prayer. And then you got two people
that's
praying
right.
with you because he gave you some help.
Come on.
He gave you some human help. Other than the Holy Ghost, he gave you some human help. So with two or three touching and agreeing, he's going to be
come
there
on
with
now.
You. And your prayer
and,
will
come on, sis.
Be answered. He said
come
you
on.
Might answer. No, it shall be.
It shall
answered.
Be. Come on.
What do you have to lose? How about all
come
the
on.
Ugliness in your life? Lose that. How about all
lose
the grief
it.
In your life? Lose that.
Lose it.
What are all,
yeah.
all the disappointments? Lose that.
Come on,
come
sis.
On the winning side and let God be God. And let us pray with you and help you to grow higher in him and become a fruitful witness and to bring in others. See, he has a purpose for you, too. He just doesn't stop. He's not just saved for you. He's saved for others. So I tell you what, if you really want a wonderful, successful life, come on in. Repeat these words. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus has died for my sins, and I'm making him Lord of my life. Thank you for this moment and hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, that's all it is to it. If you said that prayer, welcome to the family. Now you got another prayer partner. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. Bless say that.
Amen.
Say that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we go through, we will pray for the new converts. But before we do, we have area code 415-9967. God bless you. You are in the sanctuary with us.
Hi. I just... just wanted to say,
hi, Marty.
Hello, I love you. Just wanted
I love
to say,
you more.
I love you all. Yeah, no, and really appreciate your message today about us all sticking together and holding each other accountable. And I just thank you for filling me up. I really needed this message today.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you, dear brother.
Amen.
We love you so much, and we're glad that you're here.
Amen.
And we want you to know that our dear brother is faithful. He's in here every Sunday listening and praying with us. So, you know, and that, too, is part of ministry. For those of us that don't go, we can always pray. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray for the new converts because apparently our dear sister might be having some technical difficulties or with everything going on. I'm just going to cover that in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just want to thank you right now for every new convert. We thank you for changed hearts, changed minds, Lord God, uplifted spirits. Lord God, we praise you for the shackles that were removed today. And Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue, Lord God, to minister to their very souls. We pray, Lord God, that they will be surrounded by people that will love them, that will encourage them, Lord God, that will truly disciple them, Father, so that they can become all that you would have them to be, and they can do that for someone else in the kingdom. Lord God, we just continue to pray for every listener today. We want to thank you, Lord God, for their presence. We want to thank you, Lord God, that they are thirsting and hungering after you. So, Father God, I pray that they were truly filled on today by every prayer, by every song, by every speaker. And Lord God, as we go to Bishop Lester, I just pray that you use him mightily to speak to our brothers, because Lord God, we truly do believe when the man of God stand in their rightful place, hallelujah, that all things will fall into place, because you have an order, Father God. You are a way maker, Father God. And when you have designed something, Lord God, there it is perfect. It does not need fixing. It does not need to be improved upon, God. So we just want to thank you for our listeners around the world. We want to thank you for all the servant leaders here. Lord God, just continue to use us in a special way so that your people might be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And at this time, we want to have our dear Bishop Lester Carver come on in the room with a word for our brothers. Well, everybody, but especially our brothers.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. This word is specifically for the men, but will bless everyone because it's the word of God, and that's how the word of God is.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ came so that we, all of us, can live a more than abundant life. That more than abundant life is first spiritual abundance, then mental abundance, then emotional abundance, then physical abundance, and then financial abundance. But oftentimes, because we are trying to get people focused on the spiritual, we oftentimes ignore the need for physical abundance and financial abundance. So the verse that we're going to talk about this morning is in Ecclesiastes 5:19. It's one verse, but it's packed full of every man, speaking to the men, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Now you see God speaking to the men. He says, every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, the one that gives us riches and wealth is God. Then it says, every man to whom God hath given the power to eat thereof. See, God has given us the power to eat of our riches and wealth. See, it doesn't matter to have riches and wealth if you can't eat of it, if your body isn't physically healthy enough to partake of the riches and wealth, then it's just stacking up for no benefit to you, for somebody else to take. But look at what God says. This is a blessing to you. It says, every man to whom God has given him the ability to take his portion of the riches and wealth. That is a blessing from God. Every man to whom God has the power to rejoice in his labor. So your work is a joy to you when it's a gift from God. These four things are physical gifts from God, and we have to know they're available. We have to be thankful for them, and then we have to rejoice in the fact that God loved us so much to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, so that we can live a more than abundant life in this way. So that is the message for the men today. And I hope that every one of you walks in the fullness of that this week. Be blessed.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have indeed had a beautiful service today, and we pray that you will continue to walk with us here at the Spirit Alive Network, because I tell you, my friends, the men and women of God that bring you their weekly programming, they put so much into just bringing you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I know that I'm blessed every day. I have to listen to every single program before it's repodcasted, reblogged on other networks. So I just want to praise God for all of them. Tomorrow we will be dealing with overcoming fear and anxiety, we're talking about knowing your adversary, part two, and we will be looking at some of these demon spirits that come upon us when we let fear and anxiety overcome our lives. Then on Tuesday, please join Bishop Lester Carver for his Tuesday night teaching. This man of God, he also is an ordained teacher, so he really takes you a little bit deeper. He truly causes you to think, and I'm so blessed by that. This coming Wednesday, will we also be having the Daughters of Naomi, and we have invited a dear sister and friend of the network, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter, will be coming and speaking to all of us.
Amen.
On Thursday. Hallelujah. You can join Pastor Vanessa Carver for Wounded No More. She has been doing a phenomenal job on teaching about forgiveness and healing and how all of that works together. Hallelujah. She's teaching us how to forgive when it's hard to forget. And that's something that I'm sure we all could use work in. And then on Friday, yeah, we will have a comprehensive study of the Ten Commandments, part one, with your brother, Rick Altman. Hallelujah. And on Saturday, we have the summit. Now, I go through these programs. The Lord laid it on my heart to go through these programs so that you will know that each of these anointed servant leaders that you hear on Sunday all have programs and ministries in their own right. And I believe in them. I believe I'm excited about who they are in Christ. And I know that if you begin to listen to them on a regular basis, you will be excited about the word that comes forth through them just as much as I am. So I'm so thankful that all of you are here today. I want to say a special good morning to my auntie, Apostle Zeta sister, my auntie down there in New Mexico. I love you. my auntie in Fresno, love you too. I see you. Mm-hmm. But I want to let you know, we love you all here at the Spirit Alive Network, and we're so glad that you decided to make us a part of your day. So if there be nothing else, may the Word of God, the Holy and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly until we meet again. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and on behalf of myself, hallelujah, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Minister Tina Brown, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Evangelist Kathy Horton, Minister Gladys McGee, we all want to pray for, we're all praying that you be ye transformed. Have a beautiful rest of your day. God bless you. You are dismissed. Go in peace, beloved. To the Spirit Alive family, you are beautiful as always. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, family.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you guys.